FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
What's up, everybody? It's episode 192 of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm your host, Sideburn 2. I'm joined today by Headmaster Don.
Friday.
Maroni Prime.
Jim is truly outrageous.
And Plasticon.
The Skittleverse has yet to disappear.
Judging by the black hole behind you, it looks like you're on the event horizon or something.
Yeah, know, my right? Skittleverse got a little bigger.
My main PC decided to clunk out on me, so I had to use my laptop.
It mostly just tastes like plastic. Not very tasty.
Couldn't you have dipped it in sugar, man? Dude, that Menosaur is beautiful, though.
Sugar.
Yeah, I may get one online before I head to BotCon, but with there being a embargo on the third party stuff again, there's not that much official I'm looking for, so I'll probably just say that for a BotCon pickup.
I wasn't aware they'd done that again.
Yeah, it's a nice. And apparently I have to reread all the information, but from memory, which we know how my memory is after all the massive attacks, there's no third party on the premises, even including the rooms. So there's not supposed to be any room sales with third party and stuff like that.
Sounds to me like certain individuals might be sleeping elsewhere.
It said the hotel reserves the right to kick you out or something like that.
That's okay. Yeah. Hotels across the way and still sell stuff.
Yeah, I'm expecting we'll see closer to maybe the next week or two. Although I would have thought there would have been something announced by this point, but they also might not want to announce it too far in advance for various reasons, which I'll let everyone figure out what I'm talking about there. But I think we'll see it announced a little bit closer to the show that there'll be a third party again somewhere close by.
Yeah.
Parts party.
Man, I got sort of screwed on an airfare going to BotCon because now I don't fly in until Friday.
Woo.
Ooh. Well.
Really? Oh, I don't. I land in Kentucky, or I land in Lexington. At 10:43 on Friday, and then I got to drive to Louisville.
And the airport can't find you anything better?
Well, it was the difference between $500 each way or $500 round trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm driving because from where I'm at, it's only about a seven-hour drive. It was one way, but about a seven-hour drive. Which is about 4.5 hours less than Chicago was. So yeah, I'll be driving and saving the money because
Doesn't Brett live somewhere near Lexington? I think. I might hook up with him in carpool.
No, I am not riding with Brett. No,
I meant Michael.
Oh, sorry. He's already paid for the airfare, so.
Yeah, I think that they would have already planned on being at BotCon by then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I doubt he can leave the convention, drive back, pick you up, then drive back. I don't think it works like that.
Yeah, valid point.
So,
you know, Kentucky is not Australia. You know, it's a very big state.
And I think it might be because it's the week right after Easter that airfare is so ridiculous. Because it's freaking Kentucky. Yeah. It shouldn't be that expensive to fly into Kentucky.
Holidays always jack things up.
But, So that's my fun thing about it. Since we're talking about BotCon, by the way, we should go into the biggest news to come out this week. And that was an email that went out from the club that pretty much alludes to this being their final year.
The bomb has dropped.
So I'm going to pull up this email because apparently I deleted it from my inbox.
Well,
so the email mostly reads about a change of guests. Scott McNeil can't be there anymore. They're switching. But Greg Berger is going to be there instead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're trading one Dinobot for another.
Yep. Whoa, you just got really loud.
Yeah.
Weird.
Right, THX, the audience is now...
Jimmy, settings.
It's almost like it switched microphones.
Yeah, that's odd.
It is a bit odd.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, it's not your fault.
Oh, mute me to it. How's that?
Is that okay. One you?
Is that better?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Cool. Sorry about that!
Hopefully it's good. Otherwise, you're still just
pulling ears out. I am going to come through this screen and throttle-bot you.
So,
just so long as my wife's okay with it.
So the big thing here.
Woo!
Good night, everybody.
Oh goodness.
Oh my.
So the big thing here in this email that is like the second to last paragraph that reads: "Please note that March 16th is the last day that you can join the Collectors Club. If you're interested in receiving the discounts for BotCon, the 2016 free membership incentive figure, and or purchasing TFSS 5.0 to be revealed fully at BotCon, you'll need to be an active member as of March 16th. All memberships will end December 31st, 2016. Hasbro looks forward to sharing new plans for the Collectors Club with you in the future. We appreciate your support over the last 12 years and wish the brand well in their new endeavors."
You must pay for the package there before you find out whether it's going to be worth you paying for the package or not.
Well, no, I don't think you have to pay for the TFSS 5.0.
No.
You have to pay for the membership.
No, for whatever faults Collectors Club may or may not have to people's perceptions, they're not Maddie Collector. They're better than that. So
given that the club is going to end on December 31st, that's less than a year. And if you want to have access to the 5.0 and you're not previously a member, you have to pay to become a member for all of, 9 months by March 16th?
Yeah. Well,
around that, you don't want any of the thing. Did you waste your money?
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, getting the...
It's like it gets stuff for you.
You know, the thing of it is, getting these figures another way, like on the aftermarket, may wind up being good, like for Circuit and Jackpot that don't go for much right now. Or they could be, you know, Ultra Mammoth, which still runs about $70, $80, $90.
Very true.
So, I mean, you know, it's you don't know how it's going to go. But I'm going to bring this up just as a side note, because the part you just read, Michael, about Hasbro looking about Hasbro sharing Collectors Club information with us in the future, that line is not in the letter the G.I. Joe Collectors Club got. Apparently, theirs just says all memberships end December 2016. There is their letter says nothing about Hasbro talking to them about club future things. Maybe. So that's not looking good for our G.I. Joe friends. Wow. Hopefully,
it's basically the club is the only thing that's really giving them G.I. Joe at the moment, right?
There was a little bit of Joe stuff in some Toys R Us. As I saw it, I saw a decent amount of G.I. Joe stuff at the Toys R Us near where Mom used to live. You know, the His Tank and the Sky Striker 2-pack and a couple of figure sets, but that was only like four or five things, and that was it. So that's not looking good for Joe, and hopefully something will change with that soon. But I just wanted to bring that up. So if you know anyone that's a Joe collector and a member of the club who may not have gotten that email, you might want to let them know.
That's very true. That's sad for Joe.
Hopefully it wasn't Creo that jinxed it.
I don't know. I've always been a fan of G.I. Joe. I love Joe. I hate to see that happen.
Well, I've always liked G.I. Joe. I just
screwed over on a 50th anniversary.
You know, I love G.I. Joe. It's just I've never fallen down that particular rabbit hole because the figure, I mean, I've got like one of my favorite figures, unfortunately, is the Matt Tracker figure. And I got that basically because it's Mask.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I got it not because it's a G.I. Joe, because it's a Mask figure. So I'm hoping, again, this is just a tangent. You know, they're talking about they filed for new trademark names for Mask, Visionaries, some new G.I. Joe trademarks. I'm hoping what we're going to see is a across the board same size figures for all three lines.
Well, at Toy Fair, or wasn't there some press conference where they basically were talking about all those brands as like a cinematic?
Well, that's Micronauts, ROM, Visionaries. And
isn't it Mask as well?
Mask, yes. Yeah. Yes. So
they had the poster that oddly screamed Speed Racer.
It wasn't Speed Racer. Well, that car is a
It's not Speed Racer, but it looks a lot like the Wachowski brothers' Speed Racer.
Right.
It does. And there's a lot of people out there. I just need to kind of set this straight because some people out there is like, "Oh, it's Speed." It's not Speed Racer. That is actually a real Lamborghini. It's a real car. Everybody's like, "Well, what is this thing?" They thought everybody made it up. No, it's a real car.
I'll be interested to see if they keep the wreckers in it too.
Yeah, and
I think they were just thrown back there just for that. But
yeah, I don't know. But the car's M shaped design on the front. Doesn't just stand for the Mach 5, it also stands for Mask, because that could well be a cinematic version of Thunderwing.
Mask
5. Well, there's something I'm noticing, though. Look at your Minosaurs, both of them. Those are Ferrari and Lamborghini molds that are on there, which tells me that Hasbro and Takara are probably working close with them to make sure that they get the car license to be able to use that mold or that vehicle. And that's probably where that Lamborghini came from on that poster.
Yeah.
So we're possibly going to be getting some real life cars that are licensed, just like,
we've gotten some licensed Lamborghinis here in the past. I mean, outside of Masterpiece, we had the Lockdown,
Age of Extinction.
That piece of crap.
We also had the Mercedes that was a Soundwave that we didn't get here in the States, but they got overseas.
Yeah. Well, just as a quick question for the group before we get back on topic, do you think that if without the Collectors Club, and without the Joe Collectors Club, and Joe turns out to be a I am in limbo again. Do you think we're going to see a rise of some third party G.I. Joes finally? I mean, I don't mean like the core and your, the knockoffs you get in the stores, although some of those core figures look pretty good for the price, and a lot of them have a lot of accessories. But, I mean, do you
new core ones don't look anywhere. I mean, they're close, but I don't think they're hitting the mark of what the Lennard brand used to do way back in the 80s, where they literally were like almost cloned.
Yeah.
And you can take your Joe figure and put it in one of their vehicles and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, the new ones, they just don't look like they have half the posability that the old ones
did. But I'm just wondering if we'll see a third party boom for small articulated 3¾-inch figures that at a slightly higher price point would have a lot more accessories, you know, like say a 3¾-inch figure for say $20, but you get like a metric crap ton of weapons and guns and stuff.
Well, I could see them doing that if there were enough of a nostalgic demand for the Joe brand or those heritage characters proper. However, being that it would be an unofficial third-party product, I almost wonder if it would be relegated to the same status as any other dollar store, you know, army guys that are G.I. Joe-like, you know, and other like army vehicles and tanks and stuff.
Yeah.
Because really, a lot of those that they have, like the core, like you were talking about, there are even other brands that are more generic than that, that are really close to G.I. Joe in design and scale, but are just interchangeable and generic.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I went to Toys R Us, and this was a while back, they had a C-130, that's the Hercules, mm-hmm. The four-prop aircraft that the military still uses to this day. Mm-hmm. That one actually is in scale with G.I. Joe's. And I've seen a lot of Joe collectors seek those out and snag those just to repaint them as Cobra to make them even better for their Joes.
Huh.
That toy is phenomenal. And there's a lot of people that just kind of overlook some of those vehicles that come out. The vehicles are nice and solid. The figures, 90% of the time with those, the cheaper ones that you're talking about that are not the core or also known as Lennard. Lennard's actually the brand that the company that actually makes core. They are just not as good. The plastic quality is complete crap on those.
Right.
But the vehicles are actually pretty solid. That's where they tend to try to drop all the money is in the vehicles, because they know any Joe collector or anybody that collects any kind of like high-end G.I. Joes or something, they're going to probably buy those vehicles and just toss the figures in a bin or set them on fire or whatever they do.
Yeah.
You know it, and I know it. We all used to put firecrackers in our G.I. Joes and blow them up.
Okay, Sid.
Hey, I did.
Psycho Sid.
But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, ultimately, I guess, like with a Transformers or transforming robot third-party things, you know, there's more variety to it than just, you know, a standard, you know, army soldier-looking figure. So I think that might be kind of the downfall of that. I don't personally see it working. I mean, it could, but I don't see it.
Honestly, I could see them taking all these, like every one of those brands, if they made them all in G.I. Joe scale, they could do a lot with that. There's a bigger pool they can pull from instead of, okay, I just got this, you know, this entire bad guy lot, and then I've got this lot that's not bad guys, that, you know, they're just, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things that I could see them doing the same thing with Microman and all these, because it's something they really need to focus on. I mean, I think it's a good idea. It's a good move. But.
Well, it's, you know, we, I guess a lot of us, a lot of people saw this coming. A lot of us didn't see this coming. It's it's bad news for Joe. I feel sorry for them.
And also,
unfortunately, I think their brand in Hasbro's eyes and just in the eyes of culture today is a harder one to keep going. Toy soldiers aren't popular. they aren't politically correct, quote unquote. So that sucks. Yeah. I'm sure a third party convention will kick up in its place.
Yeah.
I'm sure there already are third party conventions that
there's loads of different conventions.
Yeah.
But you know, we could be looking as far as the Transformers side of this. You know, there's been a lot of shadow. Now, that's not the best word. There's been a lot of hints and stuff going on behind the scenes since mid to late last year. So Hasbro has had a lot of time to put something together in its place to replace the Collectors Club. But I'm just wondering if we're going to see a year without any official convention, or have they had a chance to pull everything together enough to hit the ground running for 2017? I guess that's the one thing I'm worried about is will there be anything next year for Transformers, with it being a movie year when they really might not need the convention? I don't know. It could go either way.
Well, hopefully with the whole Cybertron Con trademark and all that stuff, that means that Hasbro has been working on this for a while.
Yeah, you know, so they've had time to get something ready to go in its place, but will they do it, or will they wait until, you know, a year after? Who knows?
I'm willing to wager that that's probably why they pushed BotCon 2016 up so far to April in the mid-spring. So they could hurry up, have the show, get it done, get it out of the way, and work on just clearing out whatever remnants of the relationship.
And then have at least 7 or 8 months left of 2016 to keep fine-tuning whatever they're doing.
Right.
So when 2017 gets here, they've had plenty of time to get their ducks in a row.
I'm gonna call it now. I'm gonna say, just my own speculation, whatever convention, whatever it's gonna be called in the future that will replace BotCon, or if they can maybe somehow get the BotCon name back with all their millions of movie dollars. Whatever convention it's going to be is, I'm calling it, it's going to be in the mid to late summer. I'm thinking maybe August.
Yeah. Now this is a theory. I have no facts. This is completely me. I've not talked to anybody. This is me.
Thank you.
But I'm wondering if Hasbro did not, and I think I mentioned this to Rick off show a while back. I'm just wondering if Hasbro did not buy FunPub and they're now an actual owned subsidiary of Hasbro and they're being merged into this CyberCon organization. Holy because I'm thinking, again, the reason I'm saying that is because there is a lot, FunPub has a ton of experience with decos, with designs, with how to make this work on the budgets and the molds that are given. Mm-hmm. A company, even if the CyberCon is great at the organizational side and getting everything but the exclusives done, they're going to have a lot under their plate unless they've done it before, getting the actual toys ready for the show. So again, this is my theory that FunPub as itself, as the Transformers Collectors Club, is not going to exist by itself, and Hasbro may have bought them and brought them into the Hasbro umbrella as an actually owned company, a subsidiary, with more direct control than just the license holder, licensee, that they've had for these past 15 that they've had since 2005. So that's my theory. It may not hold any water to a lot of folks, but it seems like to me that would be the smart thing to do, because if you want direct control, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you've got people with this much experience and this much ability to get this kind of product into the people's hands, mm-hmm. that's a resource you just don't want to say bye-bye.
Yeah, well, and
you don't do that.
There's not good at the whole internet thing.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's
again, a lot of people aren't good at the internet thing.
Yeah, so that's you know, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not going to call it. I would love to call it, but that it just seems like it would be a waste not to bring them into whatever new thing is and going to exist.
I have no knowledge of it either. But I can see how that would, in my mind, make sense. Only because I was thinking, because back when we were, aren't they, I kept saying, well, they already said they're coming out with the subscription service 5.0, right?
Right.
And typically their subscription services go, they reveal the figures at BotCon, they open up their small two-week window or whatever where you can purchase it,
mm-hmm.
like 6 months later or something like that, and then, or however long later, and then they ship it out the next year, right? Because usually they don't start shipping out until after the next BotCon.
It varies sometimes.
Being that things
I think the trend the last 4 years, though, is that they didn't ship until after BotCon.
Yeah, being the thing is coming to a close at December 31st, so do you think they'd ship around Christmas?
I'm thinking, I'm just, who knows, they might ship it by the end of the year, and that's sense. Why they're doing it so early, like, you know, who knows. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it could... You know, just could be they are still handling those. It's just next year they're a different subscription or it's a different membership because now they're under a different umbrella, right?
Right. Well, you know,
who knows?
I'm watching my mailbox for that Ramjet though. That thing looks
pretty yeah. Cute. Well, you know, I think basically that when the 5.0 is revealed and they get all the people that's going to buy into 5.0, that whatever they've got in place will probably be far enough along that they can handle the subscription service, because at this point it's just a matter of getting the figures from China and mailing them out, because the decos have been done, like Lenny's done the decos, Pete and Brian and everybody behind the scenes have worked on the bios, mm-hmm. and the packaging and all that. So what at this point, it's just a matter of get them from China, put them in boxes, mail them to the people. So, you know, the hard part, the fun part is probably done all of the stuff that needs their experience in getting the decos and getting the figures ready to be produced. And since we're talking about 5.0, I'm going to put a link in the chat, Michael, just in case anyone hasn't seen this. That's for the Double Pretender Optimus. They revealed a few weeks ago, just in case anyone hasn't seen that, or just so they know what we're talking about, because we knew we would see the Old Master Mold again.
The Trunky.
Yeah, but I kind of want this. I really want this. Yeah, so, you know, that's basically it's going for the Genrai / Power Master Laser. I don't know how you want to call it.
It's a tribute to Primes all over.
Yeah, but you've got High Q as the Minicon is called High Q.
Yeah.
So that's, I kind of want that. I want that almost as bad as I wanted Ultra Mammoth.
Right.
Are we able to share that with the audience so they can see it?
I did.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
I still think it's a missed opportunity that they did not make the shell into Optimus Primal.
Well, it could. Now, again, remember, we've got the Masterpiece coming out, so there could have been some kind of conflict that Takara didn't want two similarly colored items out at the same time. You know, it could have been something along those lines.
Well, I think he's supposed to. I think that's supposed to be like what the colors of that was originally.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
The original '80s Oil Master that never saw release. Those are the actual colors that it would have
been. But all right.
And I'll tell you, I'm calling it. As far as the 5.0, I have my strong suspicion that we're going to see the figures for 5.0. be the Combaticons in the RID Ruination color scheme.
That's my prediction. That's too many figures.
I don't know. Box set.
But they, so typically it's, since the second one and last year's, or excluding the first and last year's, is typically five deluxes and then sometimes a sixth basic and then a surprise figure. But they've already revealed two of them, so I suppose they could do, you know, the three big ones and then have the surprise figures be two of the limbs, but, or it just doesn't seem likely.
On the flip side, they could take, I don't know, Skydive and Slingshot and turn those into Skids and Winch here, and then Ironhide and Mirage be Toeline and Skids.
I want them to release, I want the last three figures to be G2, Alpha, Bravo, Rook, and Offroad.
All G2, huh?
Yeah.
Of course, and they all got to be in like the most neon color ever.
Why not?
Hey, I'm down.
I like the idea.
All right,
I'll take them.
Move it on from a dollar. From BotCon, since got some other news items.
Oh, you mean like some other things that might be repainted?
Yeah. Well, we're not getting to that yet.
No.
We'll save that. We're actually going to go to this guy.
Ooh, shiny.
So Takara is redecoing Ultra Magnus, the Masterpiece Ultra Magnus, into Delta Magnus, which is Diaclone.
Colors. Very blue
for Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
Do you think you guys think we're gonna get the yellow?
God, I hope not.
I would be amused.
I'd just
the coolest thing ever.
You know what? We got a translucent sound wave, so why not?
Yeah, year of the P Ultra Magnus. I mean, but I'll be honest. It's like, you know, Brian Kilby really likes the Diaclone Magnus, and I know he's real excited for this. But Diaclone, even though I was there at the beginning for Transformers, I didn't know Diaclone was even a thing until later on when I learned about the history of the series of the history of the toys that Transformers came from. And so I never really dealt with it that much, even once I found out, because, again, the prices and everything else. It's just not something that was important to me because I had Transformers to buy. This other stuff was not that important. But I really like the looks of this. It's just I have Ultra Magnus. I have City Commander. I have the U.S. Leader Class. I have Titanium Ultra Magnus. You know, I have plenty of Ultra Magnus in my life. I can't deal with another Ultra Magnus right now.
Which would you say is the most Ultra of the Magni?
Masterpiece is the closest, but...
Ultra Mammoth?
Yeah. Well, Ultra Mammoth has a special place just because it's the most wonderfully awesome name ever. I've got Citizen Stack. I forgot about that. I do have Citizen Stack, too. But I think City Commander holds the most special place in my heart because it was my first third-party figure, and it really, even with it being as outdated as it is, it really is a nice-looking Ultra Magnus.
So what do you guys think, Jim?
Honestly, I don't have the Masterpiece Ultra Magnus, nor have I messed with one in person. But I've always kind of dug the Diaclone color scheme. I wish they'd have stuck with it. I don't know if any of our listeners or viewers have seen the deleted footage that was cut from the original 1986 Transformers movie. But at one time, they were going to have that color scheme be the colors for Ultra Magnus before they then decided on the final colors that we got, being the light blue with the red and white torso. Yeah. It's all good. I was just going to say, I honestly would love to see the color scheme using the Combiner Wars mold. I think that would be stellar.
Maybe Takara will do that for us once.
You know, I've just always wanted to see a Transformers the movie release with all of the footage put back in, or at least all the deleted. I know you can find a lot of this stuff online, but I would like to see it on like one big disc. Well, not one big disc, but one set.
Laser disc.
You know, laser disc.
It's got to be a laser disc, man.
That laser disc.
Seriously. Yeah, so no one can watch it ever.
That's awesome.
but I've seen Transformers Hero, which has some of that footage in it, because it has the Japanese opening with an English narrator on the movie.
Is it still Victor Corelli?
I can't remember. I haven't seen Hero, and that's one of the ones that I got when I was trading Legends Bumblebees for Master Force and Victory tapes back in the mid 90s. So I really can't remember. But I may at some point get that Diaclone Magnus just to have just because I love those colors, but I'm glad it's coming out for all the Diaclone fans, because I'm sure the original, complete original one is not cheap.
No, Don, you said that was called Transformers Hero?
Yeah, it was. Again, this is from Transformers Hero was a, the copy that I have, and again, the gentleman that was sending this to me was writing in broken English. Apparently, you know, he was Japanese. He said that it was a copy of a promotional video that was made to send to theaters when they were shopping around Transformers the movie to show what it was all about.
Uh-huh.
But if anyone's out there and correct, I'm doing this from memory. Like I said, I've not watched it in at least a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on VHS tape in one of my boxes. So
you have it.
I have it somewhere.
I've never heard of it, and I'm not finding it on TF Wiki.
Okay. Well, again, you know, whatever it was called originally, he might have translated it as best he could into English, and it was just something that was the best translation he could come up with.
Okay. Because wasn't the Japanese name for the movie, wasn't it like Matrix Forever?
Yeah, I think so. But again, that, you know, that's just I remember seeing the Diaclone footage on that, and stuff like that. If I can find it between now and BotCon, I'll bring it if we can find a working VCR.
I'll tell you, I have right here a DVD VCR combo. It's barely been used since it was bought. It works just fine. I can bring it with me if we have to.
All right. Well, I'll go through my boxes and see what I can find.
Cool. Who knows? We might have a TFYLP exclusive. Yay.
That's not a Massey attack.
Oh, no. You can bring her, too.
Him.
Sorry.
You definitely get attacked.
I didn't look. You can't tell on the camera. It's all fuzzy and grainy.
Well,
you can always superimpose a Massey.
I think we are going to skip that one.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to, actually, we're going to skip those two. So we're going to move on to the one that you wanted to talk about, Jim.
Oh, the one I wanted to talk about?
Yeah. So we had a reveal, or a somewhat reveal, more like a leak, of Takara or Hasbro's Computron, which looks to be a box set.
It is.
Yes.
And it looks great. The first thing you'll notice is the different hands and feet, which I kind of wish
ankle tilts
that the other ones came with.
It's looking like they're borrowing the same mold from Victorian on those feet and hands.
Just no heels.
Well, the feet are the feet and the hands are very different from Victorian. Victorian has like high heeled shoes.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, that's
very very small, sort of dainty hands.
These feet look really close to actual Computron feet. I'm noticing.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about Victorian's heels is she can just stab you with them if you just
right to the eyeball.
And if for some reason you don't like them, the pegs are the same size, so you can always get the vintage ones.
I'm now imagining Victorion as American Maid from The Tick throwing her shoes. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from, but there's that line from The Tick. I let him have it with both shoes. Both shoes?
No.
That's going to require the rest of the characters, too, you realize.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm moving along.
We're going to have an Arthur combiner. We're going to have a Deflator Mouse / Batman Well.
Well, you'd never be able to find it. That's all they'd be hiding.
You know the Tick combiner would be a Sentinel Prime thing anyway.
Yeah. Now on the Computron, don't get me started. On the Computron, I didn't know this until it was pointed out to me. I was wondering, why did Strafe look so strange with a giant orange, a giant yellow canopy? And then it was pointed out to me, well, that's not part of Strafe. That's the Midicon for this box set, which is a repaint of the Cosmos mold, which apparently is called Scrounge. And
I've seen before.
Yeah, so that's like, well, there's not really another Transformer that could be Scrounge unless you wanted to use one of this Cyclone Minicons from RID 2.0.
I mean, if you want to split hairs, you could always count that one Constructicon.
Yeah. So we're getting a yellow Cosmos as Scrounge and his matching Target Master Minicon partner, which is I'm hoping there's like a somewhere on one of the forearms that you can attach him as like a shield or a buckler. But
I would imagine so somewhere.
You know, and then you can say when Computron throws his mighty shield. Never mind, sorry. Sorry. But I think he looks great. I'll definitely buy him.
When Computron throws his mighty shield, it takes him a little while because he has to sit and think about it first.
Yeah.
So but this is a remolded. This arm is a remolded Groove. Is it?
Yes.
Not?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yep. I'm not entirely familiar with the mold.
It's a motorcycle.
Since they haven't released it here in America, so I'm kind of disappointed that this is the only way we're going to get it. I would like to get Groove.
Well, so far as we know, that might just be the first means in which we get it.
Now, it's also possible that maybe he'll come out at the holidays as an online exclusive. Maybe if they need a case filler for somewhere in Titans Returns, he could be a case filler. Hmm. He could be a Toys R Us exclusive, or you know, there's no telling if they might go back and get some more Grooves.
Well, you've also got the blast off that they're remolding over there as well, so it could be a possibility that they're building up a case set to be able to release that as another wave.
Basically, it's quick slinger and breakneck all over again.
That's what I was gonna say. I'm expecting them to do that like they did with quick slinger and breakneck last year. Have them as online retailer exclusives.
Exactly. It would be nice. I would really hope that they don't just gloss over them and never release them.
Yeah.
But it seems like a waste.
But Computron's always had a really great unified color scheme.
Yeah.
Except for Nose Cone. Poor Nose Cone. But that's just it. He looks like Computron.
Uh-huh.
See that's what makes Superion so weird to me. It's one of the best looking and best balanced visual combiners they've ever made, and it's also the most boring to look at.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why you put the guns in different places, change it up a little.
But well, you do like I did and create the Generation 2 version, which makes it look completely different.
Awesome.
But here's the thing, I want to see pictures of the Lyokaiser set. That's what I want to see at BotCon.
I expect it to be in the case in the room there.
Because I'm as of right now, I'm skipping the Skylynx because Skylynx is just not one of my must get new versions. It's just he's just not one of my.
You know, if you don't want it.
No, I'm saying if I see one, I'll probably pick it up, but it's not something I'm going to be hunting all the dark corners of the internet.
Yeah, don't waste gasoline or your time to hunt it down.
Yeah, I've heard he has some issues.
He's not good.
So, but again,
because I'm keeping all my Combiner Wars stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, so if I'm going to have that mold, I definitely want the Lyle Kaiser version.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anywho, for the benefit of our audio listeners who don't have the advantage of the visual here that we're sharing, this is an image recently revealed. What was it? Yesterday? 2 days ago? Something? Was it? Okay. Of the upcoming Combiner Wars Computron box set. And this is just a cropped, zoomed in cutaway from what I assume would be the back of the package.
Which I don't see the rest of.
It shows the Computron Combiner full and complete. The edges of strafe are kind of cut off, so we can't really see the wings too thoroughly. And as far as the profiles, we only see it in, was it Spanish and French, I believe?
I think the back of each box has the trilingual.
The trilingual,
right,
yeah.
Right. But overall, you have Computron, which is made up of a more toy accurate version of Scattershot, being that it has the Computron colored combiner head and the proper maroon gun, as opposed to the light gray gun that the Betatron version comes with. A remolded version of the Unite Warriors Groove with a different windshield as afterburner. What I can tell, it appears to be the Streetwise Prowl version of that mold as Lightspeed.
Which I believe is a straight repaint. Just there's nothing...
Yeah, I mean, we can't see his head.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
We've not seen the individual robot modes for any of the limbs yet.
It looks very identical. Yeah.
Nose cone is made of Combiner Wars Brawl. Yeah.
Hopefully they fix that chest. I mean the waist connector.
That'd be nice.
Mine's not bad. But it's not great either.
Yeah.
Probably the second worst Combiner Wars figure, Brawl figure.
I like it because you can extend the legs a little bit and give him kind of a weird reverse knee joint type thing with the ankle. I don't know. I play
with it. That's a weird reason to like a figure.
Hey, he's the tallest one. Just so you know.
What you can do is you can shout at the figure, "You magnificent bastard, I read your instructions."
Yes.
So did we not see this coming when we – because this right here, our nose cone is just the club – was it Ramhorn?
Ramhorn, yeah. I think a lot of people like, Paladin over Superhero Time, he and I have talked a lot about the Computron, and he was really worried about Betatron would be it, and that's all we were getting. But as soon as we saw the Ramhorn, it's like, yeah, they got to be doing Computron because that's too much of a nose cone figure for them to not do it.
Well, I remember there was someone asked, or I remember hearing or reading something where someone had asked about that Scattershot and Betatron, and someone and the employee representative or the Hasbro representative. Sort of made a passing like suggestion as there's a reason why they call it Betatron because the beta is the test.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there was always sort of that speculation that this was coming, but now that we see it, I think it looks amazing. It definitely looks better than Scattershot, the individual retail release. I personally expected them to release the four limbs just as a separate wave or something like that, but coming as that box set and sort of cleaning up Scattershot's look really is made a big difference.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the individual robot modes. As far as the nose cone figure, instead of the cannon barrel from Brawl, it has the drill bit that you can also see on the box on Ramhorn.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have a heavily remolded with, completely different wings, Air Raid as Strafe. One thing I wanted to point out, and I could be wrong, but you folks viewing the show, you might want to check the images for yourself and let us know what you think. But it looks to me like Strafe's nose cones, you know, the two orange blasters, are the same mold as the Brawl cannon. You know, with the angled base and then the shaft of the barrel. I mean, it looks almost identical to me, but I could be wrong. And I can't tell from the picture if the Cosmos and the partner are remolded in any way or not. My only disappointment in this set is the fact that Computron maintains the Superion faceplate.
Which I'm sure we'll see a third-party replacement for, depending on how the head attaches.
Essentially already is. There's that third-party kit from, was it Crazy Debbie? Perfect.
But that kit's also including the chest plate, which sure. I don't know if the chest plate and the head are still connected. Now, if they're connected and it's all one clip-on piece,
I believe so.
Then I don't know how many people are going to, you know, go for that one little clip-on piece to change this, because myself, I don't mind what it looks like. I would rather have an unscrew head and complete head swap if they were going to do that, which you know somebody's going to.
I'll probably just take a Sharpie and draw a mouth on the faceplate just to make me happy. I'll just draw a little
smile. A little smile, just...
As someone who grew up with Optimus Primal, I can simply just say, yeah, he just had his battle mask, you know, equipped right now, you know.
You just sold me on it, thank you.
Well, I mean...
It's at least the right colors.
Yes. Well,
the thing is, it's also coming with the rifle that Superion and the other nose cone came with, but I can see a third party possibly making a head and rifle combo that you can buy, maybe.
What, nose cone rifle? What?
Well, not nose cone, but the Computron rifle, the big... I was just on Facebook earlier, and Renderforms right now is currently in the process of doing test molding of the G2 Minasaur rifle, where he's already made the Minasaur rifle for the Computron, or for the Combiner Wars. He's making a G2 version, and he's been asking folks whether they want the hands and feet, because he does an entire set. So if you guys are interested in that, hit him up.
Yeah,
I've already hit him up and said, yes, I want that rifle.
Well, as far as hands and feet, I am overall ecstatic at these new feet and hands that Computron has. I can't really tell too well if the hands are articulate or if they're just more simplified than the previous Combiner Wars hands.
They must be molded as just one
thing. Maybe the fingers might be a little bit, I'm hoping. But if not, I don't know. At least they look more like hands now, as opposed to hands with guns on the knuckles. But my most favorite change out of any of the new additions and remolds, he has ankle tilts. He has ankle joints. You can pivot and move the feet. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's a very nice feature.
Yes.
That's one thing I do. I think possibly what had happened is when they released all the Combiner Wars like they did, they saw that Fans Project was releasing the sets that they were releasing, little bitty bits. And they probably got them in hand. It's like, is there any way we can engineer something similar to this for the box sets? So that's probably where they're getting a lot of the ideas for this now.
I could see that.
But I'm not one of those kind of people that really gets hung up on that kind of thing. I mean, I like the idea that the hand-foot gun was like something that they engineered to integrate so you can swap the item instead of having the pile of parts like you did from G1, where those had to be feet. Those had to be hands. You couldn't store them anywhere on alt mode. You see what I mean? But that's just me.
Unless you got creative.
Right.
Yeah,
in some way they try to make them work.
For the retail products, I thought it the hands and feet the way they are worked well, because it's the same way that the Energon combiners, in a sense, sort of worked well. When I was a kid and I was buying combiner figures, I it was impossible to complete one. So you at least wanted that one figure to either be able to be a leg or an arm for anything you had that could combine with it, right?
Yeah.
So I thought the hands and feet were a great addition to the Combined Wars figures, but when it comes to a box set with something like this where you don't have to worry about it, I really do like these feet and hands better. I think it just brings that look together better.
Well, here's my thinking. I can see how you guys were considering maybe it was inspired by the third-party add-ons and stuff. But here's my thinking, okay? I was looking at the hands and feet and how they're different for Computron and Victorion both. And they're completely new molds, new things altogether than what we've had before for the rest of the Combiner Wars. And I got to thinking, they just recently broke the rumor on like Sabertron and TFW and all the you know, AllSpark and all the fan sites, that a new name was trademarked for a series called Combiner Force. And the speculation, from what I'm understanding, is that this is probably going to be the name of the third part of the Prime Wars trilogy. If that's the case, this could be them testing the waters for new hands and feet for future combiners. Maybe we'll see Abominus or Predaking or someone of that caliber. And this could go right along with that for all we know.
I completely agree there. I mean, there's a lot of people that, okay, Predaking was never a Scramble City combiner, but neither was Devastator. So why couldn't they release Predaking at the same scale and then give us Abominus and give us the C-Cons and maybe a Monstructor? You know, I would like to see that happen because those are just as important as these other ones, really. All the combiners together. I mean, some people might not ever had the C-Con set, but you can't deny that C-Cons were cool. And there's several different repaints they can do with the C-Cons anyway, considering there was the club exclusive repaint. There was God Neptune and then the C-Cons. There was two different versions of the C-Cons because there was a version released here in the States and one they did in Takara back in the day, and there were different color variations.
Well, consider also there was the unreleased what was it going to be called? It wasn't going to be called Piranacon. It was Piranha King, I think, that mm-hmm. would have been released. It had a whole bunch more yellow. It had Archerbot. So, I mean, that could be an option.
Some of those I would think are a little more obscure, but I'm thinking, you know, like as mainline repaints, those are your mainline repaints that you would see.
Here's what I'm wondering, though. If they did that, though, you know, release a Piranacon, would Snaptrap have a black head or a green head?
I think it would probably just depend on the set. I mean, in one version, there might be a black head. Because Takara will normally do a different color versus what they'll do here at Hasbro.
Right. Just, you know, like the G1 reissue from Big Bad Toy Store, that Snaptrap had a green head for some reason, and it always bugged me anytime I looked at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, when you look at the G1, it's a little, you know, it's a little different, but then you look at all the iterations of that G1 that was released as well. Because, I mean, you even had the BBTS exclusive that was completely different color, too. So,
you know, that reminds me of some other, you know, places where you can find exclusives, too. I can't think of it, though. It's on the tip of my tongue. Don, do you have any clues?
Well, I think if you're looking for a vintage Piranacon, you could check out Mega Toy Fan, our own Mega Toy Fan. Check out his Facebook page, Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection, minimize your cost. And if you're looking for something, maybe say a third party Piranacon, there's one currently in the works as well. You could check out the great folks over at Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. I always have a lot of pre-orders going up. I always have a lot of stuff in stock if you're looking for something to get your fix now. You know, your plastic fix now.
And you can get Prey right now.
They just recently got the G2 Minasaur in there.
Yeah, that's where I got this guy. And all of his Skittles glory.
Yes. So
it is beautiful.
You know,
love that thing.
So if you're a vintage G1 collector, or you like the new stuff, or you like third party, check out Mega Toy Fan and Captured Prey, both proud sponsors of TFYLP.
All right. So since we're on the topic of this lovely retool that is Computron, we were just going to go into the broader topic of retools in and of their own right, because it's been a trend for the last, well, man, it's been a long time now.
Yeah. Probably going all the way back to maybe Reveal the Shield, Generations.
It's like 2009?
Yeah.
Probably about seven years or so.
I'd say so.
But yeah, so 7 years ago, Hasbro decided to start designing figures in a way that they plan retools out ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so we're still seeing that today here with the Combiner Wars. But I thought we would have a fun little discussion about, you know, the whole retooling process, our favorite retools and whatnot. You guys got any favorite retools? Any outstanding, shining examples of the retool process at work?
I do.
One that comes to mind off the top of my head is actually from Reveal of the Shield. It was the Autobot Trax into Wheeljack.
Wheeljack, yes.
That was a wonderful example, and it worked well for both. Both vehicles and both robot modes were like their spitting image of their G1 counterparts, even though their G1 counterparts look nothing alike themselves originally. And it worked.
And it's just weird, just turning the waist around and using a different pair of feet just kind of really, really did that. My big example, they're not my favorite figures as far as in the past several years, but you have to admire the amount of the sheer amount of difference between the two, Springer and Sandstorm. That was probably the most jaw-dropping changes that we had seen in the longest time, because, you know, we saw Generations Perceptor with a reflector style head, and, you know, we've seen all this stuff that was built in earlier, but now we saw just a complete, I mean, at what point do you say this is a remold and you say no, this is a new toy?
Now that's a Perceptor one that never saw the light of day, did it?
Not yet. But I've got a feeling that we'll probably be seeing that, you know, eventually, because the mold was apparently made to be used, so I'm sure we'll see it at some point. Okay. But that's just a lot of, you know. Now that could be an example. I don't know if y'all agree with me or not. That's remolding. It's super heavy remolding. But you could still probably call it that. Mm-hmm. But using Metroplex as a base for Fortress Maximus.
But that was impressive.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like I said, at what point does remold stop being appropriate? You might as well say, this thing is like 99% new stuff. It's a new figure. You know, the line kind of blurs, but that's what we're getting is. We're getting these massive dogs that are just barking, and they're happy because we're discussing this.
Sorry, I took my shoes off. It's my fault.
Yeah, you're a foot master.
Not my feet. They're still attached for now.
So those are the two big examples that, you know, you can have slight remolding, you know, from like breakdown to Prowl to Sunstreak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying in the Combiner Wars. But then you've got stuff like Springer, Sandstorm, Fortress Maximus, and Metroplex. They're building flexibility into these figures from the get-go, and it's wonderful.
Well, one of the ones that really stuck out to me was the side swipe mold that they had in Classics, where you were able to swap it around to make it in a Sunstreaker. Mm-hmm. But not just that, that they went to the extents to make that exclusive punch-counter punch out of that.
Exactly.
And that was, like, ingenious, just the design of that, because you literally swap it either direction and it could be a robot either way.
Absolutely. And
I just love the idea they were able to just, hey, we just turn the waist around.
Now, I was
head around, and there you go.
I've never seen that version of the mold in person. How did they do the hands on that one? Does one of them just have a backwards thumb? Or how's that work?
The way the hands are molded, they're molded to look like hands either direction.
So like the thumb's in the middle.
I would say the thumb is more or less in the middle, kind of like this.
Okay.
And they made it so that way it made sense. And I have the breakdown mold, and I've got a custom G2 Sideswipe that I made out of one of them as well.
Did they do that as breakdown?
Yes, they did as
they had the
exclusive.
And the absolutely wonderfully awesome G2 set, which is so probably beautiful. one of if not my favorite BotCon sets.
It's a beautiful set. You guys have the money, get that set. You can't go wrong.
I was thinking the animated
Steneconz.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Well, I wish that third party combiner parts that was tentatively being made that would have been able to allow the animated Steneconz to form a Minasaur, but I guess they just couldn't work out how it would work, but that could have been impressive too.
I wish they would have done the Constructicons.
That would have been interesting.
But yeah, I kind of can't. I picked Utopia over Metroplex for aesthetic reasons, but I definitely want this Fortress Maximus, and I'm hoping I can find someone with a Metroplex so I can sort of compare the two, because I would love to see just how much is the same and how much is different.
No, I can guarantee I'm going to be getting that Fortress Maximus, so I can take some shots of that.
It's a shame it's not Verity, though. I was really thought they would probably have, you know, Verity as the headmistress, but
well, keep in mind there is
a sounds like we're going back to the whole Victorian grinding her heels and the people sort of thing saying headmistress
with stilettos, good lord,
right? But keep in mind, though, I mean, there is an entire size class that's going to be nothing but the headmaster or Titan Master figures coming up in Titan's Return. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't rule that out maybe as some kind of exclusive somewhere, somehow, maybe.
No, I mean, there's also, you know, the Triptychon everybody voted on, and we have no idea what it looks like yet.
Sorry, I voted for the Scorpion guy.
Here's the question, though. You know how they have that RID version of Scorponok, right? Uh-huh. So they're carrying the name, it seems like.
Sure.
Do you think they're possibly going to take that Triptychon mold and do a lot of heavy retool and turn that into a Scorponok for us?
I don't know,
but I could see it.
If
they were careful, think of Triptychon backwards. The tail being like the scorpion head, and like where Triptychon's head would be like that's where they put the scorpion tail. Then where the legs are would be the big claws.
That would be some remarkable foresight and molding.
Like I said, it'd be a stretch.
Well, I mean, honestly, you think about it, if they did it the right way, if Triptychon comes out and he has an articulated tail, there's no reason why they probably couldn't make a Scorponok then.
But you know what we're actually going to end up with, though, out of Triptychon? They're going to reissue it. It's going to be green, and it's going to be Grimlock.
Not Godzilla? Come on!
I might have to buy two so
I can make a freaking Godzilla out of one.
Just like what happened with Age of Extinction Grimlock, you know? He's the RID Grimlock now, and he's still clogging shelves.
Oh, God. No, this is painted that hideous bronzy color. And
oh, yeah, gold and black. And
yeah, they'll put it out there as the Michael Bay version or whatever.
Oh, no, you can't do that. That'd violate safety laws.
I know, oh, right? Fox.
It'd be like a Transformer made by Jokey Smurf.
All right. So,
go ahead.
Are we going to go ahead and go into the whole process of
molds? That's up to you.
I've been doing a lot of research lately when it comes to how molds are made. And there's a lot of people out there who's like, okay, why can't we ever have this reissued? Why can't we have that? Why does it take so long for them to get this? Or why couldn't they have used this mold? And the process for injecting plastic into a mold is not as easy as everybody thinks it is. There's either a friction way that they heat the plastic, or they actually will heat it with a tube, basically, that's injecting into the mold with a heating system. The molds themselves are built of steel. They have to be milled down with a CNC machine and then fine-tuned with smaller stuff and micrometers and all that to make sure that everything is, you know, a perfect fit. And that's why sometimes people get upset, like, oh, my God, it doesn't fit the way it should. Well, maybe there was a problem. And a CNC machine is basically a computerized cutting piece of equipment. It basically is like a large drill bit on the end that just mills down the metal however they're going to cut it out. It's used in woodworking a lot, but it's also used in metalwork. And it's basically a drill bit with a lot of oil being shot at the drill bit, so that way it doesn't overheat and it has the ability to cut it out. And sometimes it will take up to a day and a half to make one mold. Now, a lot of people don't understand that these molds are very heavy. And these molds, when they are, when they're constructed, they're weighty. I mean, it's a piece of steel. You guys know how heavy, I mean, vehicles are, cars.
Sure.
And you guys know if you have a vehicle that's left out in certain environments, what happens to that metal? It corrodes, it pits, it starts turning nasty. And even if it's sitting in a warehouse or something like that for years, it still starts to, starts to decolor. It starts forming rust. And these molds are actually in two parts. It's a two-part mold, for most of them. Some of them might be three or four. But basically, it's a big, gigantic block that's held by pneumatic pressure. So that way, when they inject the plastic, it stays together. It doesn't explode and fall apart. And whenever that opens up, the pressure that it's holding, as soon as it releases, it drops into this thing. So that way the pieces can cool and then be either put together or put in the packaging or however they're going to do that. Sent to the painting process and such. But these molds, this is the big thing a lot of people's like complains about, like, why can't we ever get this mold, like, here in like 10 years, why can't we get this, you know? The problem is every country handles the molds differently. Some of them archive them, stick them in a warehouse, and they take really good care of them. But some countries, like, not calling out countries, but countries like Korea and China and such have different ways that they take care of the molds. Sometimes the molds
are just stick them in a cardboard box on the beach.
Well, pretty much. I mean, they'll put them in a warehouse and not touch them for 10 years. And then it costs tons of money to have these guys kind of pick up these molds. And these molds sometimes weigh about 200 pounds a piece. Yes, 200 pounds for your silly little cyclonus that doesn't weigh hardly anything to be molded. Because the molds have to be robust. They have to be heavy. And when these molds are pulled out, you got to think, you got to have labor in order to pull these things down. You can't just get Joe Blow to do it. They pull them down, then they look at the mold. Okay, is the mold in good condition? Is it discolored? Is it rusted? If it is in bad shape after they pull it apart, sometimes it's salvageable. But it costs a lot of money to go back and finish the mold so it's usable again. Now, if it's a, like, any of you guys out there that built any of your Bandai kits and stuff like that, where they're a multiple colored sprue, you have multiple injection points on that mold, which costs even more money to have to go through and clean all that out in order to make it a usable mold. Once the mold is actually cleaned up and used, they can try to inject plastic into it to see if it's actually going to fit right. And sometimes they do that, and it doesn't work right. So they're back to square one. It's back to, okay, we got to go find a different mold to use for this character if that's what they want to do. And that's the big reason why a lot of folks are like, well, why is, you know, the Transformer Collectors Club, why are some of these deluxe figures, which usually cost between $15 to $20 a piece, now closer to $50, $60? That's all that work on top of paying the artist to get an entire different color scheme going, on top of tampering, and then on top of your packaging. This is well before that even happens. And a lot of people don't understand that that's how drastic this is into getting a toy back. Now, when we get like our Perceptor, like the reissue Perceptor and
Blaster,
I mean, how much was that set when it came out?
80?
Pretty pricey. It wasn't cheap, I know that. There was a lot of people that didn't buy it because it was that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They skipped out on it. Well, they don't understand that it costs a lot of money to go and revive that mold. Now, if you have a warehouse, like possibly here in the U.S., I'm hoping to God Hasbro does this, that they go in and oil their molds consistently. They can make sure that they stay in good condition. Because if you put oil over them, that protects them. But if you don't, then they dry out. Some of them will actually start forming, will actually start cracking, depending on how much that mold's actually been used. Because if you heat metal, metal expands when it heats. When it cools, it shrinks. And you got that process, that molecular process going on, which is why, you know, you think about your G2 Transformers, why the molecular structure of the gold plastic broke up is because that it no longer has that pressure that's holding it together anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just slowly disintegrating into false pieces.
So it you're saying that this is why I'm never going to get a sideburn again?
There's a big possibility.
said that those molds are destroyed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When people say the molds are destroyed, they're thinking, well, what they do? They throw them, you know, melt them down, they toss them in the corner and all banged up. Well, some of that's part of it, but the other portion is just the mold degradation is the biggest reason.
This is why we need Masterpiece RID 1.0 Car Robot Brothers.
I'd be content with getting RID stuff from Combiner Wars. I mean, like the breakdown, a dead-end mold would be great for Sideburn.
I already have that.
Well, this is the thing.
Capacity. Yes, you do, and I still hate you for that.
Well, you think about it. Look at all the exclusives we've been getting lately from the Collectors Club.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly recent molds. They're not dragging out the molds that were originally made. That's why you rarely ever see any of the Beast Wars molds. Barely any of those probably have survived.
Well, one thing about that Blasticon is a lot of these molds are already on the line or readily available making the Takara sets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not really, and I'm sure that's one reason that we've got Combiner Wars this year as part of the BotCon set is Takara said, you know, hey, we've got all these molds we're already running. We can just use them for your stuff too. Because they're literally being run at that point, give or take.
Right, that's why you're seeing that one club exclusive that's a Combiner Wars figure. They've got them sitting there. Why don't we just retool it and reuse it for that? It's cheaper. It's easier. The guys will love it because it's something that they can get real quick. Yes, it's not the complete reissue of the original toy, but guess what? That's how much work they have to go through before they can even touch plastic in there in order to even send the stuff down to get it painted. They have to make sure that mold works. Mm-hmm. And that's probably been the biggest reason why it took so long for us to get a Ford Max. which, to be honest, I wouldn't have been surprised if they went and found the Brave Max mold, did that off the Brave Max mold, and had to go back and rebuild the sword and the guns and the blasters and such.
I thought Brave was the one that came with the sword.
Brave didn't come with anything.
Well, Brave came with the Lucky Draw version of Brave Max came with the Master Sword.
Yeah,
the regular retail version did not.
Which there's a possibility maybe that's the one they found, but what I'm saying is the most recent version of that mold was that. Now, a lot of the guys out there that went out and bought the knockoff Scorponok that was out for a while, that I know Brycey had talked about the plastic was inferior and such.
Yeah.
And the thing didn't hold together. I guarantee you that's what that was, is somebody got hold of one of the old molds, probably didn't know how to clean it very well. And that's why a lot of people, when you buy a knockoff transformer or something like that, sometimes you got like these chunks of something that's in the plastic. That's crap coming out of that mold because it's being heated and injected into the plastic, and there's no way to get it out without destroying the toy. That's how it works. That's why a lot of people are like, why is it oily? And that's how they have to release it from the mold.
Yeah.
There's a big manufacturing process to this. It's not as easy as, oh, I want this toy, and then here it is. Soon it will be with all the 3D printing, but...
Oh, yeah, that's going to totally change. Once it can be done on a mass production level, that's going to totally change the way we see toys made. You know, I may not be allowed to see it, but I say within another, let's say 20 years, just to be on the safe side, I can see toy companies actually selling you blueprints of stuff they have designed with software brand X, because it's a common engineering software. And if you own software brand X at home, you can buy that blueprint, send it to your 3D printer or whatever they're calling it by that point, and you can make your own figures.
I love it.
Well, that's honestly, I can see that happening because currently right now, the Transformer collectors are holding 30% of the market.
Right.
The reason being is, yes, kids are not buying toys as often now. Kids are really not interested in that. They're interested in their phones and their apps.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they tried to do the whole RID thing. Why do you think RID toys, some of them are a little more expensive than a deluxe Combiner Wars? It's because the market there they're trying to push is the app and the TV show more than are the toy.
And trying to counterbalance the horrible Cartoon Network scheduling.
Yes.
That's true. But my thing is, in the future, I can honestly see more collectors are going to own 3D printers at home. If they want something, they're going to be printing it out, because exactly what Don said, you will no longer be going to a toy manufacturer getting something. If you do, it probably costs even more than what it does now.
No. And I'm sure within the next 10 years, we're going to see 3D printers that are able to make, you know, multiple parts at one time. So you literally can produce an entire action figure, and you just pop everything together. Basically, it's Gunpla, but an actual figure.
There are already 3D printers that can print complex design moving parts as one whole, as it's as it's printing it. So you don't even have to put it together; it prints it with those moving parts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing is it being those kind of printers aren't very cost effective at the moment, especially to get them into a person's household.
Right.
But we already see that the printers are being sold at Sam's Club now to bring to your home.
It's still a very new technology though. It'll, like everything else, it'll come down eventually.
Yeah.
Well, more cost effective. I think the cheapest one I saw recently on, because I get a lot of, like, I follow a lot of that 3D printing, and I think the cheapest I've seen is about $300 for one. And if you do order the $300 one, you get like a bundle of like four filaments, which is the filaments is basically a spool
big of spool
ABS plastic so you can just run the plastic through. And the spool, what I'm referring to for our listeners, is it's much like weed eater material.
Oh, fun.
Like a weed eater spool. It's not that flexible. It's a little more robust. But the thing is, though, that's coming as a new thing, but to latch onto what Don said, I've been to Shapeways. You can buy figures for $45, full on figure that you assemble that they send you.
Yep,
they have them. You can already buy them there that way. So we're really, really close to that point.
And you know what? I just thought of this literally when you said that, Jason. G.I. Joe could benefit from this 3D printing boom because they could do designs. Again, they make the blueprints, and you could print basically your own Joe, maybe import your face into the software, and it would basically print the figure with you as the figure.
Oh, my God. Just think of all the extra weapons.
Yeah, you know, you could buy blueprints for weapons packs. You could buy blueprints for say a camping, you know, a tent, a hammock, a stove. You could buy, you know, let's say you had a 3 3/4 inch figure. You could buy an Arctic pack with snowshoes and skis, and you just print your own. Basically, you could buy one figure and print an entire armada of accessories based on these blueprint packs.
That's very true. One of the big benefits I can see from this is a lot of those guys that need to do a reproduction part, because they do have 3D scanners for these 3D printers. Mm-hmm. It's not the best thing in the world right this second, because it's still a little difficult to use, but it's really getting there. And when that ends up happening, somebody's gonna be like, oh, I need 4 extra missiles. I only got one with this that I bought. Throw the missile in there, scans it. So he prints out 4 more, spray paints them, stick them on there, he's done.
Or if a part breaks, you can reprint that one part without having to buy a whole new figure.
Right, and this is going to kind of get away from the whole casting process. Now, a lot of the guys out there that I know that are making their own pieces, and they're making them with, you know, either a really, really decent resin, or they are doing injection molding in their own homes. A lot of this stuff is they need a good place to do it, because it's a very smelly process. It does not smell well. It will get you high really quick. You have to do this stuff in a really, really ventilated area.
Don't get high, kids.
Yeah.
Don't get high, kids. If you guys get resin molds and stuff like that, do this stuff in your parents' garage, but have the door open.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we're already seeing this to a degree with lines like GLaiOS.
Yeah, and GLaiOS is...
You know, that is the start of what we're talking about. You know, it's already being done, but if we extrapolate that another 10 or 20 years down the road, there'll be no figures being made unless there's economies of scale involved, and there's still stores and toys, but you can literally buy the blueprints and make your own toys.
Well, I mean, it's much like, you know, like the injection process pretty much gives you a big sprue like this. This is from a model kit, but I've seen 3D printing done this way too, where they will literally print out an entire set like this. And well, the way it does this is it uses the sprue portion here as a tracker where that's going to go do its thing and then move on. So that way when you pull the whole thing off, you just pop out your parts, you clean everything. And that, I mean, anytime you order anything off the Shapeways or any of these places, you always have to clean this stuff. I mean, you got to go through and clean up the little bitty bits and pieces. Otherwise, you're stuck with mold flash. But thing with, you know, Hasbro and all them, they got professional mold flash cleaners. I mean, this is an old G1, and you can still see where the mold flash was right there, right here.
Well, and it's what figure was that on the sprue you held up just a minute ago? Is that, I swear that little
like, this is Daruger. That's Daruger.
Okay, I was thinking of some kind of like variation.
Vehicle Voltron is everybody knows him, but it's Daruger.
Yeah, Daruger 15.
Well, hey, Michael, since you're one of the youngest people in the room, in about 20 years when I'm dead and in the ground, and this is a reality, just remember that we had this discussion and say, you know, Don was right. Just give me a shout out 20 years down the road, and just so that way people will know that I called it.
You're going to be alive and fine, Don. You're going to live forever.
Hmm. Well, not if Massey is sitting.
Yeah, we're going to put you in the cryo chamber, man.
Oh, great. I'll be Donna Patra 2525. Hopefully my show won't suck as bad.
Let's hope not.
All right.
I think we've
gone something like an hour and 40 minutes now. So I think we're going to call it wraps. We're a bunch of tired guys.
Chicka, 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 chicka.
Oh, wait. No. Yeah, never mind.
So we will see everyone next time. Once again, I'm your host, Cyburn. We had Don. Hey, Jim.
And Computron.
And yes. We had Jason.
A.K.A. Plasticon, the G2 guru.
And we'll see you guys
on the next one. More goo than roo.
Yeah.
And on that.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Well done. See ya.
More.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.